Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house today as we celebrate VBS. It was an amazing week. I never even found out how many people we had here, but there was a lot. And we had a fantastic week, and we were able to learn or teach the kids about Jesus, and they were able to learn and grow in their faith, and great times were had by all. So although I'm still recovering. You know, it's funny. I remember when I was 30 and I could recover just like that, and I'm not 30 anymore. My wife reminds me this all the time. But anyway, folks, it is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house today and to celebrate Him and His incredible love for us and for our children. And so let us begin this worship service, remembering the day that He baptized us, that He worked through that incredible gift of baptism to make us into one of His children. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, You call us to be Your own. I thank You that we can gather together to worship You, and I pray that You help us to cast aside any worries or fears that might be otherwise clouding our mind, and help us to just be present with You, to hear Your words. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against You by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to Your infinite mercy, seeking Your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given Your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake forgive all our sins. And by Your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of You and of Your will, and true obedience to Your word, to the end that by Your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum. I'm one of the elders of St. Mark's. Good to see all the faces today, and especially the children. First reading today is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let faith and health, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overfilling, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time, Jesus said, I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was what You were pleased to do. All things have been committed to Me by My Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. This time we'll have our children's message.
Right. Good morning, kids. How are we doing today? Wonderful. All right. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make this work. In my head, there wasn't this many people up here. All right, where's my special helper? I've volunteered somebody earlier. Oh, there she is. Outstanding. So, she is a very trusting person. You guys ready for this? Okay, here's what I got for you. I got a jar. Okay? It's a jar, and it has some screen on the top. But other than that, it's just a regular jar. And we're going to put some water in it. Is that okay with you? All right, very good. So let's see. I'm going to pour water. And the water is going in the jar. So what did we guys talk about this week? Let's see. On Monday, we talked about baptism and how God makes us his kids in baptism, right? And on Tuesday, we talked about being Jesus' sheep, right? Yeah. And what's the job of the sheep? Follow the shepherd. What's the shepherd's job?
Take care of the sheep.
Very good. Is he always a good shepherd?
Yes.
Are we always good sheep?
No.
But if we wander off, will he come find us?
Yes.
Every time. Very good. And then the next day, what did we talk about? We talked about, Jesus has authority over everything, right? Remember, he even has authority over sickness. Remember that? And he has authority over all the other problems we have in our life. And then the next day we talked about how Jesus fixed our whole sin problem, right? How did he do that? That's right. He took all our sins on himself, died on the cross, paid for our sin, gave us his perfect life so that we can be good. Very good. And then he gave us a job to do. What is that job? To tell people about Jesus. And does he just tell us to do it all by our lonesome? All right. Well, here's the thing. Now my question is this. When we're going to go out in the world and tell people about Jesus, is it always going to be easy? No. If I take this jar and hold it over your head, does that make you nervous? A little bit? It's going to get worse from here. Just so you know. All right? If I take this jar and hold it over your head and tip it upside down, are you okay with that? You sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me know if you get nervous. All right. Now, is this good? She's doing great, isn't she? How about this? What if I take my hand away from the paper? Sorry, already did. Now, what if I take the paper away? What do you think?
It's going to spill.
It's going to spill. Okay, let me tell you this. In this one, you are probably going to get a little wet. But not a lot wet, just a little wet. You trust me?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm very sure.
Because here's the thing, you know, it's like when we follow Jesus, sometimes it's going to cost us something, right? We just got to remember that he gave his life for us so we could live, and now we have to give our life for him too sometimes, right? So hopefully this won't kill you. You ready for this? Here we go. Look up. So, what do you think? How fun is it to trust?
Pretty fun.
as long as everything works out, it's fun, right? Guys, listen. Does Jesus ask us to do some really difficult things in the world? Does he tell us, listen, I want you to go out and tell people about Jesus, and is that always easy?
No,
because we have to actually talk, and we have to tell people what we're thinking. We have to, like, think it through and be really, with the, you know, it can be kind of hard. Sometimes we even have to study in order to have something to tell people. There's a lot of work in this, right? But sometimes God gives us more difficult things to do, right? Like, sometimes I've got one son. He's in Romania. Do you know where Romania is? That's okay. I didn't know where it was until he went there either. Yeah, it's on the absolute other side of the world. It's all the way around the world, and he's over there being a missionary teaching people about Jesus, only he's doing it in Russian. Yeah. You think that's easy all the time? No, not so much. Does he love it? Yeah, because, you know, whenever you're serving Jesus, it is a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work. So, what about this? I have got another son, and he struggles with seizures. You know what seizures are?
Yeah.
And the thing about him is that he can't control the seizures. He doesn't know when they're going to come. I don't know. I think the electronics are not behaving. But they do that occasionally. But the thing is, though, is that with him... Let's see. All right. Maybe if I stand just right, it won't do that. All right. But the thing is that he has seizures. He can't control them. He doesn't know when they're going to come. And he just has to kind of live that way right now. But you know what really helps him a ton? Is knowing that Jesus is with him. And that no matter what happens in his life, is Jesus ever going to leave him alone? Is Jesus always going to give him the strength needed to get the job done? Whatever the job is that God puts in front of him, right? And so, guys, listen up. Here's the thing. We talked this week about how Jesus takes care of us, how the shepherd leads us and we follow the shepherd, how the shepherd wants us to understand that we're saved and also help other people figure out how they're saved. But we have to ask this question. Do we trust him?
Yeah.
Do we? All right. That's what I like to hear, because that means we're going to get out and actually do the kind of work he wants us to do. Good job trusting. I'm impressed. Can we pray, guys? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for making us your people. Thank you for giving us work to do. Thank you for giving us the strength needed to do the work. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us, Lord, to love you and trust you better every day. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Outstanding, kids. You guys did a great job. It is now time for a little worship. Now, this is a time when the kids can go. And basically, anybody VBS or friends of the VBS kids can go. They're going to follow the cross, and they're going to get a lesson for them while the rest of us open up God's word in here. Go as long as it's okay with your parents. Don't just disappear on your parents. That's not nice. And parents, we will bring them back after the sermon, okay? All right. Well, very good, my friends. Well, it has been a week of 300 kids and a whole bunch of adults all following the shepherd together. And you know what? The text for today is, it's kind of a funny thing. You know, Jesus, we wonder if Jesus ever gets frustrated. Well, let me tell you, he does. In the text for today, he was kind of frustrated and he was kind of lamenting because he said, you know, the kids are easy, is basically what he's saying in the text. The kids want to follow. God has a relationship that he wants to have with us, and the relationship is actually quite simple. It's like what the kids learned on day two. No. Yes, day two, where they talked about Jesus being the shepherd and we're the sheep. Right? And that the job of the sheep is to follow the shepherd. The job of the shepherd is to care for the sheep. And if we can just get this right, things work so much better. But occasionally, and kids are actually pretty good at this. You know, I think it's because they're so used to following. You know, they follow their parents everywhere. And so the idea of following Jesus isn't that intimidating or bothersome to them. But, with adults, it's not always quite so easy, because we as adults like to think. And thinking is a good thing. I'm not going to knock on thinking. You know what I mean? Because I like to think too. I love science. Look at that. The crazy stuff that God makes in creation that makes water behave in ways I don't expect it to behave. It's a blast to think and to apprehend the world around us. The thing is that adults, we kind of like to comprehend the world. And I love that word because it kind of is a bigger than just understand. It's like we want to envelop it. We want to get it. We want to deeply understand it. We want to know not just the what, but the why and the wherefore and the how and everything. We want to get the whole thing. And because, here's the thing, before we choose to do something, we want to know all of it. We want to know that we're making the right choice. We want to know that we're doing the right thing. And that's good when you're talking about not playing in the street, you know, That's good in a lot of places in life. But there are places in life where we won't understand. You know, there's places in life when things get more complicated than we can manage. And when we get to those times, there's a couple of options. We can either trust God and know that He is the shepherd and dedicate ourselves to hearing His voice and reading His word and knowing what He says and what He promises and what He desires from us, and to, with the best of everything that God gave us when He made us, follow Him, trusting in His grace and His mercy and His power and His ability and in Him making us enough, but just putting our faith in Him. Or we will have to find another source of information. We're going to have to find something else we can trust. Now, the options are endless. Go on the internet, Google something. There are a million people out there who want to tell you exactly how you should live your life. They think they've got it figured out, or at least they're trying to project that they've got it figured out, and they will tell you exactly how you should live, what should be important to you, and what you should sacrifice your life for. Because everybody lives their life for something. What are you going to live it for? I mean, there's people out there who will tell you to throw your entire life at environmentalism, like take care of the creation that God gave us. They might not even put it in those words, but they're just going to say, take care of the environment, take care of the world. That is worth your entire life. Throw your whole life at that. There's a people out there who will say, throw your whole life at getting things for yourself, become wealthy and powerful and have all the good stuff, and that's the way to happiness. There's people out there that'll tell you a million different things. And the question is, how do they know? And why would we follow them? Because here's the thing. I know people. I am one. And one thing I'll tell you is that there's a lot of things that I think I know that I don't. There's a lot of things that I think I understand, and then all of a sudden I'm confronted with something that makes me have to acknowledge I don't understand. All of my knowledge is, how can I say, tentative. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really think this unless I'm shown that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything that I have in my head, I kind of hold loosely to it because I might not quite have it right. I might be 90%. I might be 30%. I don't know yet. I'll find out as we go, right? And the thing is that I know that all the other people around us in the world are basically in the same place. They know what they know. They don't know what they don't know. And a lot of times we don't even exactly understand what it is we're looking at. You know, we see it with the assumptions, with the knowledge, with the apprehension that we bring to the situation, and that's all we got. And so here's the thing. You're going to have to follow some shepherd. You know, I mean, we don't have time to think about everything. We can't get it all figured out. At some point, we have to have faith in something. Do you really want to put your faith in a person? It doesn't seem like a good idea. People are obviously, demonstratively, historically, and consistently flawed. We just don't get it right. Wouldn't it be better if we could trust in somebody who actually knows? And doesn't just know because he's somewhat familiar with the problem, doesn't just know because he studied something extensively, he knows because he made it. All of it. I mean, you go to an airplane mechanic and ask him how strong the wing is, and he'll say, well, strong enough. He'll say, I attach it like this. This is how it works. I go to the engineer, the designer of the airplane, and he's going to give me a lot more information, right? I find an object on the ground. This is actually fun. It's a kind of a game we play as parents, you know, where you're walking through the house and all of a sudden on the floor is an object of unknown origin. You've experienced this? It's like, I don't know what this is. It's a piece of something that one of my children forcibly removed. And now it's on the floor. And now I get the puzzle of figuring out where this goes. It's like an adult game of pin the tail on the donkey. And we don't always win. But when I pick up an object, it's like, okay, what is this? What is its purpose? What is its meaning? What is its value? What does it contribute to my life and the life of my family? Such deep questions for this odd little thing I find on the ground. And now my job is to figure it out. Now, the only one who can really tell me the value and purpose of this thing is the guy who designed it, made it, assembled it, installed it, something like that, right? But for me, I just am going to sit and figure it out. I'm just going to think on it. Sometimes I'll stick it on a shelf someplace and just have in the back of my brain that that thing exists, and then I look for a hole in the house where that thing will fit, right? Well, here's the thing, guys. Listen, you know what? If we don't listen to God, our life is a series of finding these little objects. We don't know what is going on. We are literally just trying to piece together the chaos of reality and why the world is the way it is and how I fit in, how my child fits in, how my family fits in, how is this supposed to work? Well, you know what would be really great is if we could go back to the designer, builder, and maker of all things. Oh, it's so much more of a relief. Here's the thing. If we try to control everything, if we try to have to understand everything, if we put all that on us, understand what we're doing? We're a bunch of sheep trying to become a shepherd. Now, we're not equipped. The reason it's so stressful to try to understand and control everything is because that's God's job. Not yours. You can't do it. You weren't designed to do it. It's not the relationship God has laid out before you. He doesn't say, hey, come on, work really hard, become like me. No, he says, follow me. Listen to my voice. Let me explain reality to you so that you can understand it. And Jesus says in the text for today, he says, come to me. You who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest because I am gentle and loving, and I will bring rest to your soul. Think about those words. And does it make sense now? Because if we're trying to do God's job out there in the world, we will suffer. We will suffer. Better that we actually relate to God in the way that he offers us, the relationship that he created us to be in, this relationship where he is our God and we are his people, where we follow him, where we listen to his voice. And you know what? It's so funny because when a lot of times, you know, you hear about sheep following a shepherd and you think, what? Are we all just dumb, right? I mean, sheep following a shepherd, how much brain power do sheep have? How complex are the orders that a shepherd gives sheep? Come here, go there, stay away from that, eat this, don't eat that, drink this, don't drink that. That's about it, right? I mean, pretty much don't walk off the cliff. You know, those kinds of really, really basic instructions. This is where the metaphor breaks down. When God reveals his truth to us, things are more complicated than that. Some people think that if you're going to be a sheep in life, you know what I mean, and follow Jesus, it means that you're like, check your brain at the door, you don't need that. No, you're going to need that. Because following God is really a challenge. It's interesting, fascinating, difficult, and wonderful. You know, it's like, as we raise our children, for example. You know, what are the things that are good for our children? What are the things that aren't good for our children? Well, the question is, well, who are you going to ask? Well, if you don't want to ask all the people out in the world who really don't know anything either, let's go to Jesus and ask Jesus what he says, you know, what would be best for our children. And all of a sudden, things become a lot more clear. And we learn the things that God wants the next generation to know. Even in our catechism, like Luther says, in the beginning of every section of the catechism, it says, as the head of the household should teach this to all the members of the household, something like that. I mean, it's like, it's very specific. It's like, that's the reason that we do all this learning in life is, yes, to have a better life for ourselves, but also so that we can pass this on to our children. And so as we develop, we need to understand God so that we can pass him on. There's so many places in life where this happens. One of the ways we learn is we read scripture and then we test it in life. Have we all tested it in life? Do you always do real good at first? I have a problem here. See my problem? Now Michael's over here going, I can fix that. no, yet I could teach you to fix it. But anyway, now the thing is that we got this problem here. And one of the children's messages I've done in the past is I've given the kids a cube and I said, here's a problem for you, solve it. And they start looking at it and they're just doing this and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. And then I'm like going, well, what if you gave it to somebody who could fix it, right? And then they give it to me and then I start working on it. And while I'm working on it, they're looking at me, and I'm like going, you think I know what I'm doing? I might just be wasting your time, you know? And sometimes the kid will take it back from me because they think I'm not really getting anywhere and that they probably could do better, and that doesn't work for them. But some of the kids let me keep it, and if they let me keep it long enough, I am not one of those, you know, 30-second people. That's not a thing for me. I'm a solid 2-minute person. But nevertheless, you let me have it long enough, and I can solve it for you. I'm fixed the problem. How does that work in our life? Well, all those problems that we're carrying around, and we come to God in prayer, and we say, God, here's my problem. And then he's not fast enough. He's not doing it right. I'm not happy with the results of my decision. And so I snatch it back and say, I'll fix it. Except, do we have any idea what we're doing? What's the smart way? Give it to them and let them have it. Right? Thing is this, trust is an important thing. Trusting God to do the things that we can't do. Trusting God to be the one that's in control of everything. Trusting God to understand. Trusting God to be wise. Trusting God to always love us. Trusting God to have your interest at heart. Trusting God that even if he uses you in a way that is harsh and difficult, because that will happen. You know, Jesus told us, follow me. Well, where did Jesus go? To the cross. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because he wanted to rescue us from sin, right? I mean, the whole reason Jesus went to the cross is because all of us were imperfect and messed up, and we needed to be saved. And so Jesus on the cross scoops all your sin, takes the sin of all of creation, everybody who ever lived, ever will live, took all their sin, all their guilt upon himself, and suffered and died on the cross, paying the penalty for all sin. And in exchange for all your sin and your messed up, ruined life, he gives you his life, the life that he lived perfectly. So that on the last day when the Father looks at you, all he sees is Jesus. And he says, come into my household, my perfect children, even though we weren't perfect, right? And so, I mean, if we understand the love that our God has for us, we understand what his ultimate goal is for us. In that case, we're not afraid to suffer for him sometimes. We're not afraid to do without so that others can be saved. You know, we're not afraid to do that because we know the end. And what's the end? Heaven. because we know the end of the story. The end of the story is we get restored. You know, I'm 55, which sounds old to some of you and young to others. I know. It's like the middle ground. And for the people who are younger than me, they look, man, you're really old. And the younger people are saying, wow, you got so much life ahead of you yet. And all I know is I hurt more than I ever have. And I know it's only going to get worse from here. Right? Except, don't forget, the day is coming. The day is coming when we will be scooped up from this earth and we will be with Jesus. We will be restored into a relationship, into a place, into a condition that is more perfect than we have ever experienced. Even when we were 18, we still hurt ourselves. We healed so much faster, but we still hurt ourselves. We still couldn't run for all day long and not get tired. But that's the promise of heaven. We will run and not be weary. It'll be better than it ever has been. And guys, parents, here's my big encouragement for you. Everything else you're going to do for your children is going to prepare them for their life here on earth, right? You're going to send them to school. You're going to teach them how to eat. You're going to tell them how to exercise. You're going to show them how to live so that they can be successful in this world. Don't forget about eternity. As important as this life is, eternity matters even more. And we love to help. If you haven't noticed, our church loves kids. We really do deeply love children. And we want to help people as they raise their children in the faith to know the Jesus who loves them so much. And so I invite you, if you don't have a church family, join us. And not because I'm going to get anything out of it, but because I love your kids. And Jesus loves your kids. And he wants to be with them forever. And we want to help. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your incredible love for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be in us, be with us, work through us. Bless us and help us, Lord, to be a blessing by sharing this faith that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace, you reach.
Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All of this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, we have VBS highlights. That is just a tiny taste of the awesomeness that is VBS here. But just stand as we continue our service with our prayers today. Jesus, this world is so difficult to navigate. With so many demands on our limited time, our limited attention, our limited energy. So I pray that you help us to trust in you. Help us to know that you are our good shepherd, guiding us and leading us in this life to good pastures, to good streams, to everything that we need for this body and life. Help us to trust that even though we can't always see the next way forward, that you are with us. You have not abandoned us, and help us to turn over our problems to you, not trying to take on things that we are unable to do by ourselves. Help us to ever keep in our mind that you have prepared a place for us, and that that is ultimately where you're leading us. Heavenly Father, I also pray for the people of our congregation. I pray that you be with Courtney as she's still recovering after giving birth, that she be restored to full health and get the strength and energy that she needs. Pray that you help her as she cares for her baby, Ellie. And I pray that you help Ellie be able to gain weight as she needs to at this time and continue to grow in strength. I pray that you be with Sandra, who has upcoming eye surgery, that you would give her courage at this time and also guide those who are doing the surgery, that it all goes well, and help her in the recovery. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you be with Mike Miller as he cares for his father, Richard. Help him make good decisions for Richard, and help him not be anxious about all that needs to be decided. All these things we pray in your holy, precious name, and praying as Jesus, you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Church.
Please be seated. A couple announcements. First, again, I want to say thank you to everyone who participated in Vacation Bible School this year and everyone who helped. We had close to 300 students this year and 130 volunteer helpers, which is just amazing. As well, I'd like to acknowledge that we're celebrating today with Rich and Diane Bish. Can you just give a little wave? Today is their 62nd anniversary today, so just, we thank God for the blessing of marriage and blessing the two of you so abundantly. I'd also like to say thank you to all who are who gave to support the diaper drive. You might have noticed the cribs around that we're collecting diapers and wipes, and so that's going great, but we still are collecting all the way through June 22nd. So if you'd like to, when you're going to the store, grab some diapers, grab some wipes, and participate in that, that'd be great the next couple of weeks. We have adult Bible study today that's going to be taught by Pastor Bill. It's going to be in the prayer chapel right over there starting at 11 o'clock if you're interested. As well, anyone who is willing to help put our worship center, our lobby, back to the way that it standardly is, as fun as this would be year-round, perhaps not. But if you're willing to help with that, come meet right here. Andy Bates is kind of coordinating the efforts of who's going to help with what. And then lastly, what I know you've all been waiting for, ice cream is going to be out the front, and you'll see where the truck is, and it's just something that we do every end of VBS celebration, so the ice cream is zero cost to you, so go enjoy some ice cream after this. By the way, thank you so much for joining us this day. I pray you have a blessed week. Go in God's peace. Amen.